The sermon dialogue with Simon the Zealot was written by Ted Schroeder for Creative Communications for the parish. Crossroads. They are there for all of us. We may move along from day to day easily, walking in the sunshine, enjoying the view, feeling at peace, and then it comes. A crossroad, a choice point. There we stand, frozen to the spot. Which way now? Right, left, straight? What waits on each of those choices? Which way does our heart tell us to go? Which makes sense? Which is God's way? The answers aren't easy. A crossroad can bring daunting spiritual pain, and it can bring us to our knees. It can even bring us to destruction. Today we have an expert on the crossroad that Jesus faced as he moved toward the cross. We have Simon, a disciple of Jesus, who was with him throughout his years of ministry and at the last, as he went toward the cross. This Simon is not Simon Peter. This is Simon, sometimes called the Zealot. Welcome, Simon. I am sure that what you have to share with us will be helpful for us. But tell us, why do they call you Zealot?
Zealot? You would probably call me a rebel or revolutionary. I had joined a group seeking to get rid of the Romans. Some of my group were marked as wanted by the Roman authorities for acts of what you might call terrorism. The rest of us were quieter about our desires to see Rome out of our country and out of our lives.
And how were you going about your rebellion?
First, I was not sure how to act. But then I came upon Jesus of Nazareth. Here was one with power and authority, one who could act. I saw him feed thousands. I saw him still a storm. I saw him escape the religious leaders who were lackeys of the Roman government. He kept talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. I wanted to be in on that kingdom. I thought I could do it. I thought he could do it.
But what about Jesus' words about his path towards suffering and death?
I was so sure that he was going to overthrow the Romans and establish the new rule of King David. I didn't even hear those things. I thought he was talking in images.
How could you have missed what he was saying?
Hey, I was not alone. Most of his disciples were hoping for a new ruler and thought Jesus could be that ruler. Look at what they were seeing. Jesus was immensely popular. People flocked to him. Thousands sought him out. His name was on every lip when he raised Lazarus. Even Greeks, foreigners, were attracted to him. Then he did exactly what we thought he should do. He paraded into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like the scripture said the new king would do. He came into Jerusalem with the shouts of people proclaiming him the Messiah, the new king.
Is that what people thought as they welcomed him?
Certainly. They shouted a kingly greeting, threw their cloaks in his way. They called out, Hosanna! God saves. At that moment, he could have been everything we wanted him to be. He could have called the people to rebellion. He could have moved the masses against the Romans, against the corrupt religious rulers. But
he did not.
I understand now, but I did not then. I did not understand how a leader with his authority, with his place as the chosen of God, with his connection with the Father, could fail to act against the evil around us. How could he do nothing but drive some money changers out of the temple? And after that, nothing.
Nothing?
We did nothing except share the Passover meal and go to the garden to pray. No speech to the crowd, no commands to act, and worst of all, we went to the garden. When we went there, he was arrested.
And moved to trial before the high priest.
I was in complete confusion then. I saw Jesus with the chance to be ruler, choose to allow himself to be arrested, choose to allow himself to be taken to a mock trial, choose to allow himself to be humiliated before the council and before the Roman governor, choose to go meekly to the cross. How could he make the choice to suffer and die? I could not understand.
And do you understand now? Do you understand his crossroad choice now?
Jesus once said, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. After his resurrection, I understood. When he invited us into his kingdom, he was not asking us into a place of rule on earth. He was inviting us into a spiritual kingdom, marked by believers who would follow him, even to the cross.
You faced your own crossroad then. You faced your own choice, whether to continue to follow the risen Christ or seek another leader who might give you success in rebellion that you sought.
Yes, I faced that crossroad, so did the other disciples. We could have gone our own way, sought our own successes, found what we thought we needed, but we chose to stay with him. By the power of the Spirit, we stayed, even though we knew that it might cost us our lives. Jesus warned us that we would be persecuted, hated, even put to death, but we joined him in his choice, and we chose to follow.
But we have not walked with Jesus, saw his miracles, heard his voice. How can we make that kind of choice?
Oh, but you have seen him. In the hands of those who have loved and helped you, you've seen his miracles in the hearts of those changed by his power. You have heard his voice in the voice of those who have brought you the word. You have been touched by the same Spirit and can make the same choice.
It isn't easy to choose the way of discipleship if it leads to dissension, danger, oppression, suffering.
But Jesus calls you to follow, to lose your life for his sake, to take the narrow road of discipleship, and he promises to walk with you, to give you his strength, and to receive you into his eternal kingdom. Remember what St. Paul wrote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we await for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, for whom God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." He wrote that to the Romans. With that kind of power going for us, how can we fail?
Indeed, how can we fail? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
It's a morning of many thoughts and feelings. If you have some reflections to share, I invite those now.